The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Night, and it was absolutely the opposite. No James Harden. Instead, it was a beatdown, and Kevin Durant put on a clinic. Max, I think it's fair to say he's recovered. Kevin, how you feeling?
Tomorrow will mark 2 years since you initially injured your calf. I know you worked your butt off to get to this point, but did you ever think you'd be this good?
Is that a real question? Of course. I mean, yeah. What you want me to say to that? Of course,
well,
I did.
I mean, it's pretty impressive what you've been able to do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, I mean, that was 2 years ago. I'm looking forward to just getting up tomorrow and going to practice, watching film, and seeing how we can get better. But, you know, I appreciate that. But, you know, that was too long ago.
We got to figure out how we got to do to stop that, you know, and stop. We can't stop it. Make that stuff as possible. I've said before that, you know, he's Kevin Durant. He's one of the best scorers in the league. Like, he's supposed to do this, you know, and but at the end of the day, we're just going to try to make the stuff as possible for him and show more bodies, just be more physical, and hopefully that can bother him a little bit.
Well, you're supposed to do it too, Giannis. All right, LeBron not only focused on Space Jam 2, also marveling at KD like the rest of us, tweeting this. That combo nasty, my goodness. Max Kellerman. Was this game more about the Nets or the Bucks?
The Nets, of course. The Nets, once you saw the way they came together, once you saw how quickly the defense improved when Harden joined the team, looked unstoppable. The fact that they're doing this without James Harden right now, when they still haven't really figured the defense out, not really like it's going to be in the next couple weeks, considering how quickly they figured it out the first time, is absurd. The only thing I could compare it to, it's like, and they can't stay healthy, it seems like. The Nets, like, the universe doesn't want us to see that all. It's like too much. There's something called a singularity, Stephen, a black hole, right? It punctures space-time. And you can't ever see into a black hole. That would be a naked singularity. It's like the universe doesn't want you to see its secrets almost. That's what I feel like it would be if James Harden were healthy on this team. That's why the basketball gods can't allow this team to be all healthy, because it's like, no! We know too much. The universe would explode. I mean, this is ridiculous. KD was completely unstoppable. Kyrie is the second best player on the team. And, like, how many second best players on a team are as good as Kyrie ever, right? Blake Griffin. Like, here's the thing. I know he didn't have a big stat line last night. Had a bigger one the day before, right? What was it? It was close to 20 points, double-digit rebounds. But did you see him dunk all over Giannis?
Yes.
That's Blake Griffin.
He's the guy who's dunking over cars and all that.
Yeah, that's Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. Blake Griffin's back. So it is a big three. And they got shooters everywhere. This Nets team, even without Harden, will challenge for a title. With James Harden, you might as well. Like, there's nothing anyone can do. There is nothing anyone can do. Not the Bucks, not the Jazz, not no one. Especially with James Harden.
To my producers, be ready to call up that Giannis quote. When I ask for it in a second. But I want that same quote before Max started talking, that Giannis quote. But before I get into Giannis, are you ready to admit for a second? Can we get to you? Are you ready to admit that they can win without James Harden?
It's possible.
Oh, no. Are you ready to admit it? Yes or no?
I never said no.
You?
No.
Really?
No.
I'm making that up? Hold on.
I didn't say that.
Listen. I'm going to start asking for your comments. Yeah. You didn't say that, you know what, excuse me, Harden, not only is he the most important player, because I know that's not the same thing,
sure.
But you talked about how...
I wouldn't pick them to get out of the East, correct.
I wouldn't pick them.
That's not the same thing as saying they can't win.
Hold on, really.
You think only the team you pick can win?
Excuse me. You said in the middle of your soliloquy, your diatribe, or whatever word is appropriate, no, they need James Harden to get out of the East.
Okay.
Is that not the same as saying they ain't winning without James Harden?
Okay.
I'm sorry, am I making it up?
I don't want to go down this
rabbit hole. Am I making it up?
To pick a team, and say this team is going to win, not that team is not.
I just asked you a direct question. I just asked you a question. Don't play words with me.
What I said.
The word
if you want to know my
did
exact
you say,
quote,
did you not say?
I don't think they're getting
not,
out of the East.
Did you
hard.
Not say they are not coming out of the East without James Harden?
Okay. Let's say I did. I didn't. But let's say I did.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm just saying.
I didn't. I said I don't think they would. But
okay. That's fine. That's fine. You might still be allowed to talk basketball since you're willing to admit.
Says the guy who got the finals wrong for 6 years in a row. What are you talking about?
That's right. I did. That's right. I did. A few years ago. But unlike you, I'm willing to admit it and not dance around it like I'm moonwalking. Okay. That is what it is. Even though injuries played a role in that. But that's easy enough. That's okay. That's okay.
I don't have excuses except for this excuse.
Unlike you, I got 3 decades of a resume. So let's be clear.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. Of winning. Of being right and winning.
It.
Now let's get to the Milwaukee Bucks. Call that quote up from Giannis Antetokounmpo again, please. I want America to see this quote again from Giannis Antetokounmpo post-game last night. Could you play that, please? Anyway.
In the league, he's supposed to do this. You know, and but at the end of the day, we're just going to try to do make the stuff as possible for him and show more bodies, just be more physical, and hopefully that can bother him a little bit.
Cut! That is a disgrace! Who's the reigning defensive player of the year? Who's the reigning defensive player of the year?
Giannis.
That would be Giannis Antetokounmpo.
MVP defensive player of the year.
MVP and defensive player of the year.
Jordan and Hakeem.
Tell me. Yeah. 6'11". Yeah. It's not like Kevin Durant towers over everybody, like he towers over everybody else that tries to defend him. Giannis is 6'11". Giannis is mobile. Giannis is 240. Why can't you guard him? You know why? Because KD is the best in the world. That's why. KD is the best offensive player on the planet. Ain't the best shooter. That would be Steph Curry, the best offensive player on the planet Earth. You can't stop this brother. He is unguardable. There is nothing that they could do, which is why I've repeatedly told you he is the most important component. He is the X factor. Give me Harden with Kyrie. Give me Kyrie with Harden. I don't give a damn. You're not going anywhere without Kevin Durant. But with Kevin Durant, you can go to the promised land. You can win 73 games in a season and go to the finals and lose. But Kevin Durant comes and before he plays a game, LeBron James is giving a concession speech in Boston at TD Garden talking about, I don't want to be stressed thinking about having to go up against KD and Steph and the Golden State Warriors. That's who the hell this dude is. And if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, let me say this. Budenholzer, I hope he's enjoying his days. How in God's name do you come out and start the game on a zone? A zone against Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
He's not making
with Joe Harrison. He's not making adjustments. You got your team helpless. You got Giannis. Listen, this is basketball, y'all. Yeah. You got Giannis. When you have a basketball player with Giannis's ability sitting there talking about, well, we can't do anything with them. I mean, we just got to figure it out as a group. We got to be more physical. Because in the sport of basketball, more than any other place, it comes down to you. When you have those abilities, you're supposed to stand up, man up, and go like this. I ain't going out like that. He dropping 30, I'm dropping 40. He dropping 40, I'm dropping 50. And if I can't stop him, damn it, he ain't gonna be able to stop me. The Milwaukee Bucks laid down like raggedy dogs. Chris Middleton should be ashamed of himself. Jrue Holiday should be ashamed of himself. Down 49 points? It's a national embarrassment. They should be ashamed of their damn selves. Go ahead.
I'll say this. I can't dispute what you're saying about the Bucks or Giannis. It was very disappointing if you're a Bucks fan. Very
embarrassing.
I don't think they win anyway, but it's very disappointing.
Yeah.
And if,
losing
and
some pride, some dignity.
And if the Nets had James Harden, good Lord. Like, could it get even worse? I think it could.
By the way, James Harden and KD and them only played 3 quarters.
Right. Well, of course. Three quarters. They were up 40-something points.
Three quarters. Yeah.
So one thing I'll say about KD is he's the best scorer, and he's also extremely smart. What KD understood, I think, at a certain point was branding. Hey, wait a minute. I'm walking around almost 7 feet tall. I can score every which way, defend, do all these things. And yet I'm not an all-time great, right? Because I don't have the hardware. I need a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was make sure that he had great teammates from there. And then he gets credit. Why? You're playing longer into the playoffs every year. You got the championships to validate it. Makes it real simple for everybody. Simple and plain. And now all of a sudden you're talked about differently. Now, I'm not disputing what you're saying about Giannis. I will point out that KD, even without Harden, when Blake is back to Blake, is part of a big three with shooters all around him again. Right. That Giannis, this is what I said when they got Drew Holiday, Stephen A. and people, Drew Holiday, I like him a lot. But you can't try to pass off Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday as two guys.
But you weren't. You weren't. What you're asking them to do is to do their job.
Real quick,
let me ask you this. You want to stay with this? We can get to the Suns, but I feel like there's a lot more.
We could come back to this.
You want to come back?
One more thing. Budenholzer, good luck with keeping that job. Jason Kidd used to coach there. You might want to bring him back because Giannis loved him. Okay. Yeah. Or, by the way, Sam Cassell, who you brought up yesterday, who did he used to play for?
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Enough's enough. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
One last thing before we move on. Is it fair to say Kevin Durant has fully recovered? Everyone was concerned about this Achilles. Will he get back to being KD?
I got to see that. Offense, like, this is the thing about KD that people sleep on, in fact. It's not just that he was the best scorer in the game, and his passing obviously is at new levels in the last several years, like when he's been healthy. He also became an elite and versatile defensive player. Mm-hmm. He has to do that again and sustain that. And then I'll say
he looked real healthy to me last night.
They don't have to play
defense.
Offense,
for sure.
Maybe they could average 150.
Right. There's clearly a lot more meat on that bone, so we'll get back to that game a little later. But I saw a rising sun last night. It was just shining. As for the Nuggets, things got real shady. A 17-point win thanks to Devin Booker, Chris Paul, who both put up 21. Oh, and that home cooking in Phoenix? Yeah, that helped too. CP3 clean at the post-game press conference.
This crowd is crazy. It's crazy, y'all, to have the fans in there, the energy. It's nothing like it, you know. And I told the guys, this is why we fought so hard during the regular season to get home court advantage. And I think we truly had that with our fan base here. It's almost like wrestling. It's like you tagging in. You know, you go out the game and there's no drop-off. It's just another unit coming in as just keeping pressure on you. And I think that's the benefits of having a team like we have.
Stephen A., I'll start with you here. What do you think was the main reason for Phoenix's victory?
Two things.
Okay.
Not taking anything away from abundance of other dudes that showed up, because Bridges was special last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was proud of that brother. But CP3, my God. I mean, for him to come out in the second half, because Bridges and those boys were balling. And it was like CP3 was saying, don't forget about me. Mm-hmm. And he comes back into the game off the bench and just a couple of pull-up J's and then that step back three. He didn't yell, ask about me, but he might as well have. It was something special to behold. It really, really was, to just see him go on a little spurt like that, to be pretty much the smallest dude on the court other than Campazzo, and to do what he was doing. It was special. The other thing is this, and this is just nostalgia. You can call it whatever you want, Max. You know, I've been covering the NBA for over a quarter century. And, you know, about a quarter century. Been in the business over a quarter century. I've never covered the NBA that long. And to this day, my hair still stands up on my skin. And, I mean, I love crowds. I love that environment. You know, when you used to travel to the Oracle, and to watch Clay and to watch Steph rain threes was special. But that Phoenix crowd right there, it's special to watch. I'm going to go out there for a game. It's special to see. They have a true, real home court advantage. And I'm telling you right now, I understand COVID's going on and all of this other stuff. If other teams that play against them don't find a way to get their fans in their arenas and they ain't like that, you ain't beating Phoenix. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, that crowd is the proverbial sixth man, and it is special to see. It's a treat to watch this game. You want to be there when you're watching.
That's
that
a home court advantage.
No question.
Especially coming out of social distancing.
Yes.
And now you see that. Yes. You felt like they fed off the energy.
100%. They went on a 39-12 run.
Right.
That's unreal in like the third to fourth quarter. Yeah.
And Chris Paul. Also, what you talk about, the jump shot, the timing. Chris Paul seems to have the timing exactly right when his team
needs
what.
He's so clutch.
But that's not who I'm focused on. I think the story was actually DeAndre Ayton. And the reason is, going into these playoffs, And by the way, some of that's Chris Paul. Like, what's Chris Paul's influence going to be on Ayton? Everyone thought that he'd have a positive influence. Mm-hmm. But DeAndre Ayton was young and raw. You couldn't call him a bust. Even though he's in that same draft, Luka went third and Trae Young went fifth. He went first, right? But you still couldn't call him a bust because he's putting up, yeah, he's putting up numbers. Trae went four,
yeah,
and Luka went three.
They swapped.
And Bagley Jr. went two. And he went one. Mm-hmm. And you still couldn't call him a bust because, well, hold on, this is a center, a big, who can do a lot of things. He's already averaging almost like 20 and 10. Mm-hmm. But how would he react in the playoffs when he has to go up against AD and Jokic? Ooh, that's a disadvantage. He's too green. Nope. Even before AD got hurt, like, he was a problem. You have to account for him offensively and now also defensively. Jokic, one of the reasons I was confident in Denver is, what are you going to do about Jokic's passing ability? Even if you can stop him from scoring, which is hard, he can take you out to the three-point line, he can score inside, and he's a genius-level passer with eyes on the in the back of his head. What are you going to do? Ayton bothered him. Like, Jokic in the second half looked like he had been working. And that's DeAndre Ayton, and then Ayton can also get his. So I'm not saying Ayton is better than Jokic, but he's a counterbalance. He's a balance to Jokic in this series. And considering Ayton was the guy coming into this season who was actually the biggest question mark, your number one overall pick was already pretty good. One of the reasons I liked him since the preseason. Wait, a backcourt of Chris Paul and Booker? You got Mikal Bridges, and I keep bringing up Cam Johnson, who's off the bench now because you have Jay Crowder, and DeAndre Ayton is your, hey, what's he going to give you? If he gives you this, the Suns are live to get out of the West. Well, if Ayton gives you that.
Listen, Ayton definitely negated Jokic to some degree. He dropped 20 and 10 last night. He's been very consistent throughout these playoffs and deserves a lot of credit. And if he continues to do that, he deserves all the praise that Max has given him, and I'm not knocking that. On a side note, you brought up Marvin Bagley. He's been pretty much hurt the last 2 years, so I'm not going to get on him. Missed about 29 games this past season. Missed about damn near 70 games the season before that. It's been injury prone. I get it. But if you Marvin Bagley, we're going to remind you again, my brother, member of the Sacramento Kings. You got DeAndre Ayton now. You got Luka. You got Trae. And in the middle is you. You're on the verge of being considered Darko Milicic, all right? Get it together, my brother. You got to be in that mix, okay? So get your health right and get ready to
validate. Don't want to be known for freestyle more than on the court.
You got your rap album that came out in 2019, but you paid to play ball. Let's get it together. In the end, what it comes down to, getting back to Phoenix, I'm just telling you, that crowd is something. And Mikal Bridges showed up last night and showed out. This brother was balling, and I've been a fan of Cameron Payne now, watching him throughout these playoffs, coming off that bench, filling in for CP3 the way that he has. He's aggressive, made some heady mistakes last night, but for the most part, he's been playing very, very well, and he's aggressive. These cats ain't scared of anybody. The only thing is, I will say this that I noticed, Max. Aaron Gordon, guarding Devin Booker. Now, Devin Booker didn't look like he looked against the Lakers.
Aaron Gordon's been excellent for this team.
This dude. Both ends of the floor. Yep. He's strong. He's a mismatch for almost anybody who's guarding him.
You can't leave
him
alone on the outside. He shoots that with confidence.
I understand that. But the point is that he can big boy them.
Yep.
And that's a problem, because if he's successful in doing that, Max, then they'll need to bring help. That help might come in the form of an Ayton. If that happens and you're able to get him in the foul trouble, you got a problem. Because last night, yesterday, like late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, Ayton picked up his first foul. So if you're Denver and you coach Malone, you got to attack him to get him out of the game and make them go small, because there's really no answer for Jokic anyway.
That's a very good analogy.
But especially if you get Ayton in foul trouble.
Hold on, I just have to say one thing about the home court, though. Do you see when Booker laid down on the court like he did last year? When you talk about the home court going nuts, you know what I'm talking about, when he lays down after he makes a shot? It's just, like, ridiculous.
One thing about that,
I'm going nuts in my living room.
One thing about that is, since we're talking about home court and the Suns have it and they defended it.
I wish we had – I don't know if we have the video of when that happened.
Denver's mile high. Yeah. Like, Denver's an actual home court advantage. These dudes are used to playing at altitude. Other teams aren't. So,
that's true.
You know, so
it puts more pressure on you to win at home.
You got
it's going to be that much tougher in Denver.
The Suns are going to have to defend home court in this series. They're good. And they did. Game one, they did. But, you know, Denver got another crack at it.
Listen, we didn't have home court advantage last season, so it's fun to kind of see that play out
right now.
No doubt. It's special.
All right. We are still on camera here, Stephen A., but we're going to talk Cowboys next. Are they the best team in the NFC? Do they have the best offense? I was going to ask you for a preview of your answer, but this is just disrespectful.
You
Stephen
said Cowboys at best. You made me laugh.
Yes, best offense. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Aaron Rodgers, he's been out here living his best life. You saw the photo. Summer vacay came early. So no surprise, the reigning MVP not expected to be on the practice field when the Green Bay Packers opened their mini camp today. That according to our Adam Schefter. This will mark the first time ever Rodgers has skipped a mandatory offseason event. So he's subject to over $93,000 in fines if he does not show up for the entire three-day camp. Most of us would be running like a track star to get that green. But Rodgers, his pockets run deep. He's made more than $200 million in his career. So it's clear he's salty and he doesn't want to be there. Stephen A. Smith, should the Packers keep Rodgers?
Well, we all know the answer to that is no. But they don't seem to care. And I hope that the football world is paying attention. See, this is the problem. Because it's the National Football League, you get to get away with stuff. And I keep talking about this. Everybody keeps bringing up football. Dan Graziano and others who work for this network are doing a great job that they do. But they constantly bring up football. It's clearly not about football with Aaron Rodgers. If it were about football, why would he want to leave Green Bay? Okay? It's Green Bay. They've been to back-to-back NFC Championship games. Some would say they're a tweak here, they're away from winning the whole thing. Why would he want to leave? He wants to leave because he's miserable. And he wants to leave because he's miserable of who he's working for. And Mark Murphy validated that the other day by engaging in his version of spin. Well, Aaron Rodgers has divided the fan base. You've divided the fan base. Because the fan base loved Aaron Rodgers. But all of a sudden, he's in the midst of all of this because of how you treated him. That's why it's divided. Notice how he tried to shift the onus on the shoulders of the player. And see, this is what players get upset about, and I don't blame them one bit. Because what they do, particularly in the NFL, but in all of sports from time to time, anytime there's some kind of controversy like this, you engage in spin. Mm-hmm. The players can't do that because the public views most of these athletes as individuals who should be grateful for having what they have. Not that they earned it. Not that they worked for it. Not that they sacrificed
for it. Like they got a lottery ticket.
Exactly.
They got a lottery ticket. So the public views them that way. Mm-hmm. Management knows that. And so anytime the player's in the eye of the storm, you're always going to have people who believe they should just shut up and play. And so as a result, you can get away with treating him how you treated him. And then they use this mechanism, his teammates. Because watch what they start talking about when he misses the mandatory minicamp, and Lord help him if he doesn't show up to training camp, you're leaving your teammates hanging. See, it's never about what you did to him. It's about what he's doing to you, what he's doing to the organization, what he's doing to his teammates, what he's doing to his fans. That's the game they play. And they're trying to play it with Aaron Rodgers. And what I love about Aaron Rodgers at this particular moment in time, he doesn't appear to care. And guess what? He's right. Because I've been saying it, and you know, Max, I've been saying it for the last couple of years. Long before this ever happened, I came on this show. He ain't happy. He's been mistreated. He's been disrespected. What's the problem? They win a game. No! If you're that great, you believe you can go many other places and win. You're not thinking, oh, I have to stay here to win. You can go many places to win. You're just saying, I don't like his ass. And in this case, that would mean Mark Murphy. That's the issue here in Gutekunst to some degree. Them.
I need a meme of you saying that.
Funny how Mark Murphy's name comes. It was Gutekunst until...
No, but the whole...
Well, because of what he said. Because of what he said publicly the other day. That's why I brought him up. But it's Gutekunst too. It's both of them.
Should the Packers keep Rodgers, even though he doesn't want to be there? Of course, the answer is no. And I explained why. It's not in the best interest of the Packers. You can't win a Super Bowl, I don't believe. Teddy Bruschi's on the... We'll ask Teddy Bruschi. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl if the quarterback doesn't want to be there. Stephen A., you can win games. You can get to the playoffs. Maybe even win a playoff game. But to bring your team to deliver them to the promised land, you need that. You're going to have a quarterback, the leader of the team, who doesn't want to be there? I don't see how that works in a full contact sport. I think the Packers know this too. So they know they have to trade him. But what if they don't? What if they actually hold on to Rodgers? What would they be doing there? I'd say cutting off their nose to spite their face, because you could get, you would think, at least three firsts and stuff for Rodgers. So if you know you can't win a Super Bowl with him and you can get a mountain of stuff for him, why wouldn't you do that?
They don't believe they can't win a Super Bowl with
him,
though.
I think they do. Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who doesn't want to be there?
I do, but I understand your philosophy.
Okay, and I don't think the Packers do either.
Carry on with
but
your
that's
point.
Right.
I think he's a professional. He's going to show up. He doesn't want to get hurt.
That's right.
And if he's there, he's going to play his heart out. That's what I believe, but I understand
right up
your
until
mindset.
Heart out. In
no,
other words,
I do. You have pride for your job.
For sure. And he can, but there's a difference between going through the motions, even at a high level, and being excellent, which he'll always be, and leading a team to a championship. That's a different thing. It's the reason you love Brady so much. Brady is all in. Yeah. That's why. Now, remember Le'Veon Bell, Stephen A., with the Steelers, that situation where he was like, they were like, we want you to stay so much. Here's a 3-year contract. He said, that's not enough. I'm going to sit out. He said, you know what? I'll come and play if you agree not to franchise me next year. Don't use the franchise tag on me. They said, nope, sit out. So in other words, we want you so much, play for us for 3 years. Mm-hmm. No, but I'll play for you for 1 year. Nope, it's either 3 years or no years. Well, if you want him so much, why wouldn't you at least take a year from him? Why? Because what's more important to them is that control. They need to send the message to the players. Stay in your lane. You don't call the shots. We call the shots. Now, are the Packers willing to do that? Not with an aging running back, but with the reigning MVP, when they're set up to win a Super Bowl, are they willing just to send a message, stay in your lane, to sacrifice their season and seasons going forward right now to give up on 3 first-round picks at least when they could have all that? I don't think they are. They have 2 options, because Rodgers is calling the shots. Change his mind, which they'll have to humble themselves to do, or trade him, one or the other.
Yeah. You know, listen, I'm not disputing that. I'm simply saying that they should move him because he doesn't want to be there. Usually in most organizations, when you tell them you want to be gone, they want you out of here, especially in football because they worry about that locker room so much. They always claim they worry about the locker room. Well, if you worry about the locker room with a running back, if you worried about the locker room with a linebacker, a defensive lineman, a safety, anybody, how the hell are you not worried about a locker room with a quarterback?
This is what I mean.
That's what I'm saying.
So you agree with Max that if he stays there, they can't win a Super Bowl because he'll be disgruntled?
No, I want to say that because I think he's going to go on the field to perform. What I'm saying is that in the end, he doesn't want to be there.
Of course.
And if he doesn't want to be there, what does it say about you as an organization that you insist on holding him hostage and keeping him where he doesn't want to be? What does that say about you as an organization? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves, because in the end, any kind of decent professional is going to step, go into their job, and they're going to try to perform. Their heart might not be in it, but they're going to try to perform.
And you guys really think, a real question, you both really think that if your heart's not in it, just because you're performing, you could lead a team to a championship?
What I'm saying, the word is lead. That's the operative word there. Because, again, Max, you might have others that are more emotionally invested than him. But it ain't going to stop him from flinging the football the way he's capable of flinging the football.
He didn't get to this level by accident. Right. You don't want to get hurt in this game. There's been times I'm sure Stephen A. hasn't wanted to be here, and he's still here, and he shows up, and he delivers. And it's not about the team. It's about Stephen A. and the pride for his job. And I think the same goes for Rodgers. But you lead, I don't know if he's that rah-rah guy anyway. I think he's leading by example.
I don't think it's just about rah-rah. I think winning a Super Bowl is different than just getting to the playoffs, maybe winning a playoff.
Well, let me ask you this question,
Max. The number of obstacles in your way, you have to be fully invested.
Let me get it more direct and bring it home for you this way by asking you this simple question. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers believes there's a multitude of places he could go where he could compete for a Super Bowl?
I do.
That's the point. See, in other words, what I'm saying is, he doesn't believe he has to be married to Green Bay in order to achieve
what
we're talking about. So his whole point is that I don't want to be with you guys.
No doubt.
And that's
what
this is.
By the way, look, if you're the Packers are basically like it's like a relationship, right? And Rodgers is like, I think we ought to break up. Mm-hmm. And the Packers are like, boy, you're so fine or you make so much money, whatever it is that they think is you're such a catch. Mm-hmm. We don't want to let you go. He's like, yeah, but I don't love you anymore.
Here's my only problem.
They're going to stay in that relationship?
I don't critique my colleagues, my contemporaries, the people in the business like that. But here's my only problem, whether it's Mark Murphy or it's Brian Gutekunst. If I were in front of them interviewing them, one of my first questions would be, what did you do to him? What did you do to him?
Well, we know a few things that publicly went down.
Wait a minute.
That would upset any of us.
Wait a minute. They said we could have handled things better. That's very vague. That's very vague.
He drafted a quarterback when he needed help.
Molly, he was upset before that. I told y'all, this man once walked into their office to make a suggestion, and they told him to get the hell up out of here. You play, we run the organization.
That's the point.
I'm just saying.
That's the disrespect.
Right. So what I'm saying is when I ask that question, it's not the obvious stuff where you went and drafted somebody, his successor before him was his time, whatever. This guy is there every day, been there every day for 15 years. What did you do to him? Brian Gutekunst just took over in 2018. He just took over completed three seasons. Wait a minute. This dude, you come on a job. You've had back-to-back trips to the NFC title game. And there were talks that he wanted you fired. What did you do? You did something. Aaron Rodgers in the NFC championship game, football. We talk about football. It's a violent sport. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Any given Sunday, all of this other stuff. And you in your third year on the job, fresh off a back-to-back trip to the NFC title game, he's going to say he wants you gone? What did you do? Nobody's asked Gutekunst that. We assume it's just him drafting Jordan Love. No, it's more than that. That man did something to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers doesn't just come in there. Oh, I don't want to show up. I don't want to come there.
Yeah.
You did
Max
something.
Max had said that. Clearly, it's
you
personal for him, even if it's business for
you
them.
Did something.
And let me say one thing about the Packers. Mm-hmm. Do you know why they have to take this position? I believe the Packers know. They have two choices. Aaron Rodgers is going to decide this thing. Change his mind or trade him. Right? You either change his mind or trade him. But publicly, they have to do this.
Publicly
because,
owned.
Yes, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But they have to do it because if the rest of the league believes you are looking to trade him, those three draft firsts become two firsts. Of course the Packers have to posture like this.
Yeah.
While they're seeing, can we change his mind? Or else the deal they get will not be as good. But they will deal him.
Of course.
Or unless he changes his mind, they will deal
him. But the real question is it past the point of changing his mind, no matter what's offered. And sometimes that just happens in life. You're just done with a situation no matter what. You've reached a breaking point, and it doesn't matter what they offer you. You need to move on.
Yeah. And you lose even more respect, and you tinker on the verge of getting volatile, more emotionally and physically, of course, when your wishes are ignored.
Yeah.
And that is the case with Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely. It's just unbelievable that it got to this point when we're talking about the MVP, one of the best we've ever seen. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, let's examine some areas of improvement for Philly ahead of their Game 2 and their semifinals matchup. The 76ers turned the ball over 19 times in Game 1, leading to 28 points for the Hawks. Philly averaged under 9 turnovers in Game 2, taking 2 of the 3 regular season meetings against Atlanta. Joel Embiid scored 39 points despite his knee issues, but the MVP finalist shot just 5 for 12 outside the paint in Game 1 per Spectrum. He was 7 for 9 when shooting from inside. And speaking of shooting, Ben Simmons just 3 for 10 on free throws in Game 1. Among qualified shooters, his 34% rate at the line this postseason is the worst mark through 6 games since Shaq in 2004. The offense may have been an issue, but 76ers need to find a way to stop Trey.
Been working on him a lot, Lauren. We like men on Trey. We don't like him on them all game. Trey does a great job of drawing fouls.
All right, Stephen A., who needs to step up for the Sixers to even the series?
I'm going to say Tobias Harris. Here's the reason why. Because he had 20 points. I believe it was like 10 rebounds. I'm just looking at his numbers here. 20 points, 10 rebounds. Hit 8 of 13 shots. He's got to be more aggressive. Here's the reason why. You're not stopping Atlanta from scoring. They have too many shooters. I had Quavo on my show, Stephen A's World, on ESPN Plus yesterday. He was at the game Sunday, chilling with Ruben, the part owner of the 76ers. Before showing up to the Mayweather-Logan exhibition match in Miami that day. And you know, Quavo was talking about this as well, because it was like this. Look, you got Trey, you got Collins, you got Lou Williams, you got Herter. These brothers can shoot. And oh, by the way, they also make free throws. The Atlanta Hawks got to the free throw line 14 times less than the Philadelphia 76ers. But the Philadelphia 76ers missed 11 free throws. You're not beating the Atlanta Hawks if you can't score. Now, you can, Doc Rivers is absolutely right. Trey Young is a master at drawing fouls. He's cat quick. He stops in the lane. He's like a quarterback with pocket presence. He knows where his defender is at all times.
You go flying
and,
by, yeah.
And, you know, he'll stop in front of them knowing that they're coming up behind them at a particular speed or whatever. Listen, this is what he does. He not only can shoot, he can handle, he can pass, but he's exceptional at drawing fouls. And so as a result, he's going to hit his free throws. They're going to hit their free throws. You can't get Ben Simmons in foul trouble, but you also can't send Ben Simmons to the free throw line. He's not reliable. So Seth Curry has to make shots. Danny Green has to make shots. But Tobias Harris, whose two best seasons in the NBA have both been with Doc Rivers as his coach, first with the Clippers years ago and now with the Philadelphia 76ers, this brother can play. He's making $180 million for a reason. Tobias Harris has to be that dude. It's not enough to average 20. Tobias Harris is going to need to average close to 30 in this series, and he's going to need to shoot more than these shots. 13 shots, unacceptable. Tobias Harris needs to be shooting 23 to 25 shots a game. That's how you're going to offset what Atlanta throws at you, because they're going to score.
Yeah, I'm more worried about what the Sixers can do to try to slow up Atlanta. You're right, they're going to score, but you got to try and slow them up. And I understand Doc's point. You don't want to get Simmons in foul trouble early.
Don't turn the ball
As
over.
You mentioned, Trae Young is very good at drawing fouls if you put some, but you're going to have to figure out how to guard Trae Young. And I think in crunch time, when it matters most, Stephen A., even though he can't hit his free throws, it's going to have to be Ben Simmons. It's not like with the game online, is it going to be Thybulle or Simmons, right? And can you play them both because of the shooting problems? The real answer to this, and I brought this up yesterday, is actually Doc Rivers. Doc is the guy who's going to have to step up. Throughout the year, Stephen A., he's played this all-bench unit, right? End of the first, beginning of the second quarters. When you play that – now, in the regular season, you can go 11 deep. In the playoffs, you tighten the rotation. You play your best 8 guys, 9 guys. Doc is sticking to his guns. He did it in game 1. First, Danny Green's on Trae Young. No good. You get down early. And then you get buried with your all-bench unit. You can't do that again. And Doc, sometimes the same thing that makes someone great, and Doc is a great coach, he's going to the Hall of Fame as a coach, but sometimes that same thing can be their weakness. Doc believes in what he's doing. But if he's going to be intractable and he's not going to reconsider this 11-deep unit in the playoffs, this bent exclusively bench unit to close out and begin quarters in the playoffs, they're going to wind up losing this series. I think the answer is Doc.
You couldn't be more wrong. And here's why you couldn't be more wrong. Doc Rivers, you're asking Doc Rivers basically to do what typical coaches do. You got to go with a strong 7. Okay? Bring 2 dudes off the bench, have your starting 5 and go with that. Max, ever since, you would be right if Lloyd Pierce was there. But ever since he was relieved of his duties and Nate McMillan has taken over, they've elevated their pace of play. They've pushed the ball up the floor more, which is why you see these guys for Atlanta getting open shots, and they're more than capable of burying them. So from a philosophical perspective, there is no question that the Atlanta Hawks are a team to be reckoned with because of pace of play, and they speed it up. Well, if they speed it up, you're talking about slowing them down. Well, let me throw this at you, Max Kellerman. Joel Embiid, although he's 26, we all know he's got knee issues, and now he's got a slight meniscus tear in his knee. That's problematic. Tobias Harris is 28. You've got Seth Curry. He's 30. You got Danny Green. He's 33. Excuse me. What are you supposed to do? You can't sit up there and press these dudes, okay, and make sure that you do everything you can to take them out of their style of play by just playing your 5 guys or 2 guys off the bench. You've got to go deep in order to press them, to press them.
Yeah, but you don't have to go 11 deep.
Well, I'm not saying 11 deep, but you might have to go 9,
well, look,
possibly 10.
Let me give you another.
I'm just
hear what you're saying.
You got to do it, man.
I hear what you're saying.
You got to do it.
They just wasted on a torn meniscus, and Embiid almost went for 41, 39 points. That's effort.
Well, they turned over the ball 9 times in the first quarter.
You know what? Since we're talking numbers, I just looked it up. The Sixers bench, because remember, he goes with a full bench lineup did. Mm-hmm. In the first half, they were outscored 10-0. Every other throughout the game, Sixers lineup was +6 in the game. So I hear what you're saying. You may have some fatigued dudes, but if you continue to do this with the all-bench lineup, you're going to get buried against this Hawks team that scores very well and efficiently. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah, but what
you're
I'm saying,
win.
You have to pick your spots where you're willing to amp up that kind of pressure. Because the fact of the matter is, if you don't utilize your depth early, you're going to have to use it late because your dudes are going to be
exhausted. Not all at once. You would play an all-bench lineup, five dudes?
No,
that's what he's doing.
What I'm saying to you is that there comes a point in time where you have to do all of that just to spell for the dudes that you want out there. It's just the way it is. If you Embiid and you missed, how many games did he miss this year? Let me look this up right here for a quick second. Joel Embiid played in 51 games. He missed 21 games this year, okay? Conditioning is an issue because of that knee and how that's hobbled him. Danny Green ain't getting any younger. Seth Curry, you know, he's there, and, you know, he's 30 years of age, but obviously he's a youthful kind of player. But still, you just need to utilize your bench against Atlanta because their pace dictates that you have to use.
Then you're going to lose the series. If you keep throwing all 5 out, you're going to lose the series.
Who's winning tonight?
Listen, I think the Sixers win tonight because if the Sixers do not win tonight, the Sixers are losing the series.
Okay.
They cannot come
back.
Do
or die.
I don't believe they can come back from an 0-2 deficit against these Atlanta Hawks.
At home.
Against these Atlanta Hawks. If you don't win tonight, the Sixers will lose the series.
Who you got, Max?
I think the Sixers are going to win tonight.
Okay.
And I think Doc does make the adjustments. I think he has to.
All right. We'll leave it on that note.